Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
Welcome to ATS Mix.
I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
I'd also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
Well, John, you know, every once in a while we have a guest that we are going to interview that we're, you know, it's a coin flip. We never know until we get them on the horn if how great they're going to be or if they're going to be an okay interview or whatever. I mean, you know, but this guy that we're fixing to interview, he really is top notch as far as just a communicator. I was really in a enjoyment mode with this guy, and I think he pronounces his name Stuart Swerdlow.
I believe that's correct.
Okay, and he was just really a great guy. In fact, we always make notes. Johnny likes cueing me with notes on things so that we keep things in some kind of analytical order. And
well, hang on, let me preface that. You know,
everybody
knows you don't like to read.
Well, that's true. That's true. So anyway, so Johnny gives me these things or whatever, and it really does help because, I mean, a lot of these last few people that we have interviewed, they are specialists in a dozen areas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like Rhodes, who is a cryptologist or reptilian thing, whatever he is. Anyway, you know, he goes in caves and looks for reptilians. That's what Rhodes does. So, I mean, he specializes in that. Sometimes we get guests that they're just great in a bunch of different things, and that's what happened to us with this. And we had like a half a dozen different things, and as we got into it, I mean, Johnny and I are if you're wanting a show with a bunch of sidebars, here you be, because that's exactly what took place. But it was a lot of fun, John. This guy was really a great guy.
Oh, definitely. And it doesn't matter if you are interested in aliens or reptilians or time travel or the Illuminati. You're going to hear a little bit about all that.
But you know the thing I really like most about it is the discussion of the Philadelphia Experiment.
Oh, yes, I know. That's very dear to your heart.
It is. I love that movie. Now, I do want to say one other thing before we let them listen to the interview, and that is at the end of every interview we've ever done, the artist or the author or whatever, they always offer to send us their books or whatever, you know, and I always have to tell them, hey, don't waste the postage. I mean, you know, you want to send a book, send it to Johnny. If you got any DVDs, I'll take them, you know, where I can sit on the couch, munch some popcorn and just, you know, not have to do anything but just be a mindless zombie watching the TV.
Dave is a visual researcher. I am a literary researcher.
Very good. There you go. You hit the nail on the head, and that's exactly why we make a perfect team. So
here we go.
Here we go.
ATS Mix. The following is an ATS Mix exclusive.
Well, Dave, something I've wanted to ask you since the inception of us doing the ATS Mix show is, have you ever felt like you were being manipulated, somebody controlling your actions?
Well, I've been married four times, so yeah, I've been there many times.
Well, I don't know if that was exactly where I was expecting that to go, but...
Oh, are you talking about outside of the wedding bliss?
Oh, yes.
No, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I haven't been and just didn't know it.
Sure, sure. Well, we have a guest that we're going to be interviewing here shortly who might be able to share a little bit on the whole subject matter. And let me tell you about who it is we have as our guest today.
His name is
Stuart Swerdlow. He's a clairvoyant and a gifted medical intuitive. Because of his grandfather helping form the Communist Party in the United States in the 1930s, the U.S. government recruited Stuart for specific government mind-controlled experiments which enhanced his natural abilities. He was subjected to genetic and mind-control experiments which led to numerous problems later on, both personally and physically. Stuart has authored and co-authored with his wife Janet numerous books, including 13 Cubed, Case Studies in Mind Control and Programming, Blue Blood, True Blood, The Healer's Handbook, A Journey into Hyperspace, and The Hyperspace Helper. We'd like to invite you to please go visit Stuart and Janet's website located at www.expansions.com while you're listening to this interview. It is a great honor right now for Dave and I to introduce our guest, Stuart Swerdlow. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Really good.
Nice to have you on, Stuart.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, Stuart, here's my first question. Tell us how you got recruited into the U.S. government.
Well, it goes back to my family history, which is that my great uncle was the first president of the Soviet Union.
Wow.
And as you mentioned on the intro, my grandfather was sent here to help start the Communist Party in the United States. So my family was very much being monitored by the government for many, many years.
Right.
And so my father, during the 1950s, during the Korean War, was taken into service in underground areas in the El Paso area. And I was used in the Montauk Project, which was located on the very eastern end of Long Island from 1970 to 1983. Even though I was quite young at the time, they used younger people in these experiments for mind control and genetic manipulation. And that's basically how I got involved.
Well, how long were you a participant in all this?
Well, overall, including Montauk, it was about 25 years.
Golly.
Yeah.
Was this a willing volunteer effort on your part, or were you, they forced you to join, or what?
No, I think I would have rather worked in McDonald's than stuff I did there.
Hey.
Yeah, at least I would have gotten French fries with that. You know?
Yeah, baby, I love fries. All
Maybe
right.
even better health benefits.
Yeah, but unfortunately it was kind of a very harsh experience that involved a lot of brutality, mind control, genetic manipulation, that kind of thing. That actually was the outgrowth later on for some medical pharmaceuticals such as Prozac, which was given to the public afterwards.
You mentioned the Montauk Project. How did that come about?
Again, have to go back a little bit into history. It goes back to 1947 to the Roswell incident that occurred where a so-called alien ship was crashed in the desert there. And that was really part of a government, or I should say secret government program, to start to give out alien information to the public in general.
Huh.
And so basically what they tried to do was to create a situation where there was fear. The Nazi thing was over at the time,
right.
And the Soviet thing was about to begin, and they needed to have some kind of fear in the public so that they could have some control, because when people are afraid, they're more easily controlled. They realized that a very small group of people, it's very difficult to control billions of people, and armies and weapons really aren't enough. So the most logical thing that they could do was the mind control and programming so that people really don't realize what's being done to them and they just follow along with what they're told to do.
Right. The name Montauk Project, is this actually in the area of Montauk? I mean, is there an actual facility?
Yes. If you're familiar with the area, it's located at the very eastern tip of Long Island, New York. It is a very old area. In 1798, George Washington commissioned a lighthouse to be built there, and he started with a very small underground area where he wanted to keep supplies in case the British invaded the U.S. at the time. And then over the decades and the centuries, it expanded the underground area to a very vast complex, which by World War II was able to have underground submarine pens.
Really?
And subsequent to that, they created this vast technological area that was 9 levels deep and actually tapped into a pre-existing area which was thousands of years old, which they believe to have been from the Atlantean times.
You know, one of my very favorite early science fiction movies that I saw had to do with the Philadelphia experiment. I know you know the movie I'm referring to. And if I'm not mistaken, I read somewhere that either in a regression or whatever that is, that you were there in whatever what is that thing called, Stuart?
You mean the Philadelphia experiment where they try to cloak a ship?
Yeah, but didn't I read somewhere that you were there in some kind of past life or something?
Yeah, it's a very complicated story. If you know the history of that experiment, it really connected from 1943 in Philadelphia to the Montauk Project in 1983 through hyperspace, which is an area or zone of no time, no space. When you create an electromagnetic field of a certain power, it goes beyond time and space and can connect in other times and other realities. And so what happened was that there was a loop formed from August 12, 1943 to August 12, 1983, and there was an ability at that point to go back and forth through time in that loop, and that's what happened to a number of people in the project. What people also don't understand or would even believe is that during World War II, the United States government and the Nazi government were on some levels in league with one another, and there were Nazi observers in the 1943 Philadelphia experiment, who of course were not identified as such, but they were here for that purpose. And in fact, the residents of Montauk Project Montauk area during World War II would very often report German U-boats coming close to the coast, submerging and actually apparently disappearing under some kind of a base under the area, and then they would leave without being stopped.
Wow.
So this was very curious. Well, in fact, in 1945, end of 1944, the only place where Germans actually landed in the United States was at the east end of Long Island, where a German U-boat came very close to the shore, dropped off a couple of people. Their equipment and their change of clothing were actually found on the beach the next day by local residences. And they were actually took a train into Manhattan and were spying for Germany in the United States until they were finally discovered and sent to prison. And here's the interesting thing, is that even they were held as prisoners in the United States until after the end of World War II, and then instead of being repatriated to Germany, they were executed. So it's as if they did not want them to reveal information publicly of the connections between the two governments.
Well, since you and Dave both kind of opened up this little can of worms and time travel, anything to do with time travel has always been of a great interest to me. You mentioned something about there being a loop in between those years from the 80s to the mid-40s. What happened in that loop, and were they able to close this? Was there a rip in time? Was there another timeline that formed because of it?
Yes, once you establish an energetic loop between two points in time and space, it exists in creation. It's not destroyed. So it is there. They were able to transmit information back and forth between the two time periods. Now, because of the interaction, it in effect creates a new timeline or an alternate or parallel timeline where this then is in existence. And if you can imagine, I always use the analogy of a radio. Right. You know, you can turn the dial just slightly in any direction and you pick up a new station just because the frequency is different. And so if you think of existence like a radio and that every tune of the dial is a different frequency, that represents an entirely new reality, whether physical or non-physical. Hmm. And that's what the Montauk Project was really also looking into, to see if they could establish interaction between parallel timelines, where they could either get information, give information, even collapse timelines into one another so that they create a new timeline altogether. It was a very interesting and sometimes complex experiment.
Okay, well, now here's my thing, and this is still getting back to my original question, and maybe I'm dozing off here and I didn't catch it if you said it, Stuart. You mentioned in one of your books that you were originally on board the USS Eldridge.
Yes.
And I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's Johannes von Gruber. Of the Third Reich during the experiment in 1943.
Yes.
How did you get on board? That's where I'm going with this thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there again, what I was explaining is that on some higher levels, the U.S. government and the Nazi government were in league with one another. And so they allowed certain observers from the Nazi government to come to the United States and observe this, even though officially the U.S. and Germany were enemies, on another level, they were working together. And as we have found out since then, there were many U.S. corporations who were financing the German war effort, even during that time. And as we also know, the grandfather of President Bush was also involved in helping the Nazis to achieve their goals.
Oh, really?
Right.
So if you go past political alignments and you go past borders, you realize that the ones who really do control this planet go past national borders. They don't have any loyalties to any one country or another. They really have a global agenda to create a global government, a global control system, which is what we're seeing now. And that was evident even back in World War II days.
Hmm, wow.
And so, yes, and of course, this information is very bizarre to people who aren't aware of it.
Right.
Of course, we're taught one thing when in fact the truth is something else. Most of history, basically, as we know it, is not true.
Well, you'd mentioned earlier in the beginning here a little bit about mind control. How long have these mind control projects been going on?
Well, you know, that goes back to day zero on the Earth. There's been mind control for tens of thousands of years. It actually originates way past the origin of civilization on this planet. It came from elsewhere. But, you know, even the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Greeks, the Romans, they all used a form of mind control through drugs, through sexual ritual, etc. And the Germans, during World War II, stepped that up technologically. One of the reasons they created the concentration camps was to have basically a captive audience that they can experiment on and gain a lot of information. And most of those Nazi researchers were brought to this country after the war under Project Paperclip, and that continued here in this country, especially in the late 40s and beyond. And we know that Dr. Ewan Cameron, who was a Scottish scientist, picked up on these Nazi experiments and brought them to Canada, to Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, where he had he devised psychic driving, where he would basically deprive people mentally and physically in order to bring them to a fractured personality that could be reprogrammed. He was so successful that that information and his work was brought to the U.S. in the late 40s and early 50s and picked up by the CIA and an organization also that eventually became the NSA. And that's been going on ever since. And now, in 2007, it's so advanced that it's all done through satellite transmission, cell tower transmission. You don't need to be in any location. You don't have to be in a programming session. you could just be going about your daily business, and the satellite transmissions are sending scalar waves into your brain to reprogram you.
Huh. For some reason, I just flashed on, like, the JFK assassination, you know, Oswald, Sirhan Sirhan. Could these have possibly been candidates for mind control?
Political figures in those days were all programmed, because when you go into the Illuminati or the elite society that controls the planet, mind control and programming is a way of life, because it ensures that their program, their agenda for the Earth, does not deviate. What you mentioned about the Kennedy assassination and many others is what is called global ritual or global ceremony, where they do something to create an energy in order to accomplish some goal on the planet. And, of course, the Kennedy assassination has been analyzed so many times in so many ways.
Right.
But if you look at it from the Illuminati perspective and from a programming perspective and symbolism, he was really sacrificed in order for the New World Order agenda to be forwarded. And people like Jack Ruby and Oswald, these were all programmed people. I mean, Oswald spent time in the Soviet Union, where he was programmed. He really was not the only shooter. There were other shooters, which we all know about, in the Grassy Knoll, etc. It's an old story. If you look at the Magruder film, you can actually see in slow motion that the driver of the car actually turned around and fired a shot at Kennedy, and that's why his head flew back. And that's why Jacqueline Kennedy crawled out the back of the car, because the shooting was coming from the front. And she wrote memoirs about this, which will not be released until 2025, because by then it won't make a difference anymore.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, while we're on this, my first comment is, why not just have, you know, and John kind of brought it up when he's talking about the Oswald thing, but I mean, why not just take somebody out, you know, just send somebody over there with a 2x4 and smack them till they're silly, you know, as opposed to doing the entire, you know, regimented thing of trying to mind control somebody.
Well, if you know about the mindset of these people, they're very much involved with symbolism, with ritual, with numbers and dates. Everything is very important to them. And they have a different belief system, which is very reptilian in nature. In order for the general population to accept what they're doing, they have to stage it in such a way with an explanation or a cover story that would be generally accepted by the public. We see this every day on the news, especially Fox News, CNN News. All of these are mouthpieces for the New World Order.
Right.
You know, and of course, the biggest cover story of all in recent times is what happened on 9/11, which of course had nothing to do with barefooted people living in caves in Afghanistan. You know, it had to do with the people with the very good shoes living in Washington.
Since you brought it up, you mentioned the reptilians. How long has there been a history or interaction between reptilians and humans and whomever?
I wrote about this in my Blue Blood, True Blood book that you mentioned in the beginning. The reptilians were the first colonists on this planet. So in effect, and they're from their perspective, they're the first ones here. And humans or mammalians are the invaders or the aliens here. That is the premise that they go by. They are from a star system called Draco in the Draco constellation. They have an agenda of assimilating and occupying all other cultures wherever they find it. These reptilian beings, the original reptilian beings, are androgynous, which means no, they're male and female in one body. And from their perspective, that makes them superior, because when you go outside of physical reality, there's no gender, there's no male, there's no female, there's just the energy. So they feel they incorporate this physically, making them like Godmind. And mammalians that have male and female gender would be inferior, because it has to be broken down into components instead of being androgynous. If you also look at over evolution and compare mammalian evolution with reptilian evolution, you will see that over millions of years, reptilian DNA does not change very much. It stays rather constant, whereas mammalian DNA constantly changes. So from the reptilian perspective, this makes them feel more perfect because they don't need to change, whereas since mammalians need to adapt constantly, to them, they are inferior. Now, I'm not saying that this is right or wrong. I'm simply saying that's how they think. And so that's why they have this agenda of going out into the universe and occupying and changing all other species that they find.
Well, Stuart, while you're on that, I got to stop you because, you know, one of the things I most enjoy is because, you know, I'm kind of the simple guy of the team. You know, Johnny's the college-educated thing. You know, mine is, you know, the school of hard knocks kind of education. But, you know, I like referring things as far as movies so that people that maybe don't read or like myself or whatever, they can have some kind of a visual identity of what we're talking about. Now, the one that comes to mind is one of the my most favorite science fiction movies, Enemy Mine, with Louis Gossett Jr.
Absolutely.
That it plays a Drax, or dragon, I guess, is where they were going with that. And he is reptilian.
Yeah, now, and he's androgynous.
Yes, and you know what's amazing is that was, what, 20-something years ago? I don't recall, but I know it.
More than that.
But it was amazing. It was an amazing movie in that, here again, a male reptilian has a baby, you know, baby Drax. And do you think a lot of things that we see on movies and TV and things, do you think a lot of it is based on that people know something that's going on, but they're trying to do it in kind of a subtle way?
Well, I worked in Hollywood for a lot of years, on and off, and I know a lot of producers and directors and writers, and I was told point blank that they are given the information to write about and told how to present it to the public, so that the public will accept information in a way that they can understand. They also are told to write these stories from a fourth grade level of understanding, because they basically feel that the general public is stupid and would not understand the complicated story.
Hmm.
So, yes, that's exactly what happens.
What do reptilians look like, and are there a number of different races and species of them?
The ones that were first colonizing this planet, the Draco Empire, there are seven different species that make up that empire. That is where the Hindu caste system originated. It's based on the seven different species who do not interact or mix with each other. They have their own functions, their own living quarters, etc. And the interesting thing is, back in the late 1980s, a Soviet spacecraft was sent to Venus with a camera that was able to withstand heat for a bit of time, and descended through the very thick clouds on Venus and took photographs of the surface.
Really?
And the photographs were transmitted back and showed seven domed areas on the surface of Venus, each one perfect circles lined up in a row. And in American newspapers, there was large stories, especially L.A. Times, New York Times. There were stories about these domed areas, talking about what they could be and how unusual they were. But as usual, at the very end, the last paragraph said that they must be natural formations. If you know about reptilian hierarchy and civilization, it would make perfect sense that if you colonize a planet like that, that you would have the seven different locations for the different species to live while they were colonizing the planet. And if you read my book, Blue Blood, True Blood, I talk about the planet Venus really being the remnant of an ice comet that was sent into this solar system in order to destroy human colonists in this solar system, both on the planet Mars and on another planet that no longer exists. So the whole thing will be put together if you read that book.
Stuart, many people think we're being attacked, or we're being, it's a subversive thing with an alien disclosure kind of thing. You know, we have a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows. Do you, you know, I ask almost everybody this, as an author, and I just want to get your take on it. There's a movie, a 1950s movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Uh-huh.
And it has been said for years that the government was involved in the production of that because they wanted to get people's reaction to an alien species visiting the planet Earth.
Right.
So my question is, with your experience and all the research that you've done, do you think that the movies and TV shows that we see today are getting us prepared for something extraordinary?
Well, there's no question about it. Almost every film I see out there, almost every television show that has some kind of science fiction theme to it, is based on the imprinting of the public that the government wants them to understand. There is going to be, at some point in the, I feel, the near future, a staged alien invasion, meaning it's not going to be real, because we've already been invaded eons ago, but it's going to be arranged in such a way that the public feel that there is an outside alien force attacking the Earth.
A War of the World scenario?
Yeah, kind of like that, except that it's not going to be real. They have something called the Blue Beam Project, which is satellite transmissions of holographic images that can transmit into the atmosphere and even onto the surface multidimensional images that look real. They've been testing this out with so-called meteors and comets, etc., that have hit the Earth, which really didn't hit the Earth. In fact, just several months ago, an object was spotted on radar by the Sydney Airport in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
And that object was seen crashing to the ground, and even a very big explosion was heard. And when emergency vehicles went to the location, there was absolutely nothing there. There was no disturbance whatsoever. And that was a test of the Blue Beam Project, which can simulate actual physical objects. So they could actually beam into the atmosphere thousands of UFOs, fighter craft, invasion force that people will think are real. They can actually transmit or shoot lasers onto the Earth so that people think they're being attacked, when in fact it's all being staged.
That's interesting.
And that's a way of consolidating the government of the Earth into one, because let's face it, if we're being attacked by some outside force,
right,
they're going to say, well, we all need to join together under one government and fight this together. And then they accomplish the global government.
So it acts more of a stepping stone to their end goal.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
absolutely. Just like the terrorist theme, which isn't true, is accomplishing the goal of fear and changing the way we travel and live and the rules and regulations artificially, because there really are no terrorists like that.
You had mentioned earlier about the holographic beams produced, I guess, by satellites. I'm curious as to how long that has actually been initiated, because being an amateur ufologist slash researcher, between film, video, and whatever other means of recording devices I have, I've been able to capture some fairly extraordinary aerial phenomenon. So am I being exposed to some of these holographic images, or am I seeing something real?
It depends. You know, sometimes it's real, sometimes it's holographic. But this technology is very old, and in fact, in 1961 or 62, a U.S. submarine off the coast of Havana Harbor tested the Blue Beam Project by projecting an image of the Virgin Mary over the skies of Havana at night. And the people in Havana saw the Virgin Mary right in front of them in the sky.
Right.
And the idea was to make the communist country become spiritual and religious and et cetera. But that was the very first test of Blue Beam, and that was a long time ago in the early 60s.
Wow. I've got one quick follow-up on this, and then Johnny and I want to go into the last two little areas before we let you go, which is 2012 in Atlantis. But here's my question. You know, I think one of the funniest things in the world as far as computer games I ever saw was the Lemmings. You know, that little thing to where you sit there and you can program the little bridges and these little things would just be robotics and they would just kind of walk along behind each other. And if you didn't get the bridge put up in time, you know, they all went over the cliff. Uh-huh. So the question, Stuart, is if we're being mind controlled, which obviously we are to some extent by somebody who has whatever secret agenda they have, do you think that when they do this, we're being attacked by aliens scenario, are we pretty much doomed to go over the cliff like those little small lemmings because of our conditioning?
Well, that's why I do the work I do. My goal is to try to show people what's going on. I teach deprogramming techniques, and I teach techniques to help you open up the 90% of the brain that is not being used and the 97% of the DNA that is not being used, so that if you can regain control of yourself, even some percentage more than you already are, then they can't win. You know, human beings have a victimization mentality as a species. So because of that, they attract tyrants and oppressors.
Right.
If we can remove the victimization mentality, then none of this can happen.
Hmm.
And that's what I try to do in my small way.
Well, you know, on my list of ways I want to die, it's not going over a cliff in a mindless foray.
Well, good for you.
You'd mentioned earlier, sir, of some of the controlling aspects being done, I guess, by, I think you said, cellular towers and whatnot.
Yes.
What is there that the average John and Jane Doe can do to try to eliminate some of this outside influence?
Well, I teach a protection technique where you visualize yourself completely surrounded by the color violet, because violet acts as a filter and protection of energy. And around the violet, if you visualize a mirror facing towards the outside, then anything coming towards you is reflected away, and anything that penetrates that mirror is then filtered by the color violet. So that's one of the protection techniques that I teach.
Okay.
I also teach techniques to merge or reintegrate the fractured personality of the mind, so you reintegrate self into a more cohesive personality. I teach balancing the left and right hemispheres of the brain, grounding and balancing techniques, chakra system work of the proper sort, that kind of thing, release work. That is a way of strengthening self physically and mentally so that you are not subjected to these mind control in such an easy way. And that's what a lot of my books are about.
And we want to remind everybody once again that if you'd like to get more information on the subject that Stuart has been speaking about, you can go to his and his wife's website, which is at www.expansions.com. And I'm sure they'll be able to get all the information they need, right, Stuart?
Yes, everything that you could want to find out about is up on there.
Okay.
I also have daily news. I have Q's and A's, a lot of information.
Can they buy your books from the site?
Absolutely. I have DVDs, books, other things that they can use to help themselves.
Right.
Well, I know Dave is sitting on the edge of his seat to go into this next little section because he loves this next area that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and jump into thing. You know, Stuart, I mean, 2012, the 21st of December, 2012, everybody predicts that, you know, when that happens, the Mayan calendar runs out. So we interviewed somebody the other day that says he says they ran out of stone.
Well, yeah, you know, basically.
You know? So, I mean, what's your take on 2012 and if anything going to happen?
Well, it'll be a day like yesterday was, only 5 years in the future. Basically, the Mayan calendar was about the Mayan civilization. They had many time periods in their tablets that showed destruction, but it basically pertained to their own culture. They also based it on sunspot activity. And there have been many other times in history where the Mayan calendar showed destruction for themselves, and the rest of the world just kept on going as usual. However, the government takes this information, and they use it as a programming device in order to create fear and anxiety so that they can instill more control systems. And what we see for 2012 is the Illuminati agenda for when they want to consolidate their power on the Earth. That's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with destruction.
So it's just going to be another day.
Hopefully, yes, but if we allow the Illuminati to go through their control system, then we will be complete slaves at that time. That's what it's really all about.
Well, when you say complete slaves, what do you mean?
There's no better slave than one who doesn't know he's a slave. And that's what it's all about, to create a society of robots, chipped and programmed and controlled, that just do what they're told, no questions asked, complete fear, so they're free to deviate from what they're doing. That's what 2012 is about. It has nothing to do with the end of civilization or the Earth at all.
Well, this Illuminati agenda, would this coincide perhaps, as I go way out of the box on this thought, would this coincide perhaps with what the aliens or the reptilians have in mind for us humans also? Is this a coercion type deal?
Well, you know, we have to understand that human beings are aliens here as well.
Sure.
And so everyone's an alien. But as far as the Illuminati agenda is concerned, yes, it is involving total control and manipulation. Yes, there are alien beings out there. The universe is teeming with different life. But a lot of those life forms are very worried about what happens here because they know they will be next if this falls. This is a very strategic location in the galaxy because we're located on one of the spiral arms that stick out into the deep depths of space. If you were an attacking civilization that came upon a spiral-shaped galaxy, the most logical thing you could do was to occupy the points and work your way in. And that's what they've basically done here. And we are on one of the points.
I guess it would be safe to assume that this is something that has been going on for and planned for many, many, many years.
Eons and eons of time, yes.
Something I've always been kind of interested in, and I believe reading somewhere where this is also a subject that has interested you, and that is Atlantis. What exactly, in your opinion, was Atlantis, and what on earth happened to that civilization? Who were the inhabitants?
Well, it's a long story, but the Earth at that time, hundreds of thousands of years ago, there were only two main continents that existed above the water. That's Lemuria and Atlantis. Those are modern names of them. Lemuria was basically controlled by the reptilians, who were there first for many, many millennia. And the humans colonized Atlantis afterwards. And they came basically as refugees from the Lyrian star system, which was attacked by the reptilians, and the human population there scattered to many other star systems, including this one. And the Atlanteans developed a civilization, and they were for many, many millennia at war with the Lemurians or the reptilians. Eventually, there was a peace initiative where the reptilians and the humans in Atlantis decided to create a peace by creating a third species, which was the synthesis of both of them. And so the reptilians agreed to it only if a reptilian androgynous body was used as the base, and then mammalian genetics added to it. And that is why, when you look at how a fetus is gestating in the womb, yeah, it starts as an androgynous reptilian, and then only afterwards do mammalian genetics start to take hold and features develop. Because the DNA of the fetus is following the time sequence of how the DNA was entered into it. Hmm. And that's the allegorical story in the Bible, in Genesis, of Eve being created from Adam. What right. that really means is basically taking an androgynous reptilian body and separating it into male and female components. That's the allegorical story of Adam and Eve.
I've always been curious in the story of the creation of man itself. There's a passage in the Bible where it starts off where it says, "Let us create mm-hmm. man yes. in our image."
I've always wondered
who on earth were they talking to?
Right. Well, all in ancient Hebrew in the five books of Moses and the original Bible, all references to God are plural. They're no singular.
Huh.
You know, and so yes, I write about that in my books. Let us create man in our own image. Absolutely, it's about the story of how the reptilians and the mammalians came together to create human beings. The irony or the big cosmic joke of it is that both gave DNA with instructions to be dominant over the other, which is why humans are internally conflicted all of the time. And people should ask, why do human beings have a reptilian brainstem? Why do we have skin that wrinkles and peels when no other mammals have that? Why do we have a heart that's four-chambered but has three main arteries like a reptilian? We also have a reptilian lymphatic system. Nobody asks these questions, and yet it's right in front of us every day.
You know, one of the questions that I always have running through my head, and I still haven't heard a answer at least that I like yet, is why we still have all that junk DNA intertwined in this.
Ah, well, that's, you know, that 97% of what's so-called junk DNA is common to every species, whether you're an amoeba, an alien, an elephant, doesn't matter, you have that same 97%. That is the God mind within all of us. That is the physical proof of a creator. If we open that 97%, we will access the God mind within.
And when you say God mind within, what do you mean by that? I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
It means that there is really only one mind in all of creation. We are just aspects of that mind. And our genetics are a reflection of it. You know that 3% of DNA that makes up humanity,
right,
it's not just humanity. It makes up all species and the individuals within those species. So that's really how minute it is in the scheme of things. It's the other 97% that we need to look at, because that is God. That is the energy and thought patterns of the God within all of us.
Well, I got one last thing. So, in other words, you're telling me that there's only 3% of the DNA of everybody that makes a difference between whether Johnny's a skunk, I'm a horse, or you're a duck.
Absolutely. In fact, it's even less than that. You know, between us and chimpanzees is 98% the same.
Well, I knew that. When you went 97%, I was wondering where that one percentage point went, you know?
Well, you know, you should see some of my relatives.
Hey, no, you should see some of mine. In fact, we'd love to have you all over for dinner.
Well, don't use big utensils.
Oh, Stuart, I can't tell you how much fun this has been for Dave and I to be able to interview you. And I have to tell you that although I do feel that I had a number of questions answered, I think you actually unlocked the door and opened up a whole new stream of questions for me also.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We always do that.
Well, I'm glad I could do that for you.
We want to remind all our listeners once again that Stuart and Janet's website is located at www.expansions.com, and that's E-X-P-A-N-S-I-O-N-S, all one word, expansions.com. It's been an absolute pleasure of having you on the ATS Mix, sir, and we hope that perhaps you'll even come back and join us again.
I would love to.
Great.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, you've been terrific. We really appreciate your time and courtesy. And please give your wife our very best for trying to set everything up also.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of the ATS Mix, I am Johnny Anonymous.
I'm Dave Rabbit.
We'll see you next time right here at AboveTopSecret.com.
Hey everyone, Johnny Anonymous here. Just wanted to let you know that after a long day of denying ignorance at the Above Top Secret area, or denying apathy at the Above Politics area, I like to go to the Below Top Secret arena and just have some fun denying boredom. It doesn't matter if I'm in the mood to just chit-chat with some of the other members and friends or share a good joke. I can do that and so much more in the Below Top Secret forum. In fact, I just got a great recipe for marinating steaks in the food and cooking arena. It was so good that my lady friend just couldn't believe that I found it on that website. You found that at BelowTopSecret.com, she asked? Yes, my dearest, I replied. At BelowTopSecret.com, it's like a one-stop shop of fun and information. They've got areas like travel, health and wellness, music, literature, entertainment, art, and sports. They even have sections that you can rant in, talk about your faith and spirituality, learn about the coolest websites on the net, or even just talk about your latest relationship. Or maybe you're more into breaking news events, urban legends, or even an area that offers you some help on fixing that broken down DeSoto your dad has collecting dust in his garage. Well, friends, I've got to tell you that I've got her hooked. And now she and her friends all go to BelowTopSecret.com and hang out in the numerous areas on the forum. So if you're looking to deny boredom, maybe you should stop by www.BelowTopSecret.com and start having some fun, too.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.